Let's bring in Glenn Healy, our NHL insider on Sportsnet 590 Fan. How you doing, Mr. Healy?
So I'm trying to get this straight. So our voices now of reason are Phil Kessel and John Scott?
That's the way the discourse has gone in our country, my friend. Have you seen south? Have you seen the guy? Never mind.
Oh, no, I go south of the border. I get it.
Yeah, I know you do.
Just name one guy.
I know you do. It sounds like the winning ticket. Scott and Kessel in 2020, whatever.
What have we become? Well, you know, I knew PK was done in Montreal.
Yes.
They had that great show. I love watching that, CH24?
Yes.
Behind the scenes of the Montreal Canadiens. And there was one a couple of years ago where PK was in a meeting and J.J. Gagnon and Michel Therrien absolutely ripping him to shreds. And they aired it. Okay, that's probably one.
I remember that.
That you don't want to have go to the world. It would be like having Bruce Boudreau with ketchup on his face. That's probably one you wanted to get cut out, Washington. So he kept it in. That told me a lot.
Yeah.
So, you know, the makeup of that team with their captaincy, their management group, their coaching staff, you know, dressing up on a Saturday like a Christmas tree with all the hats and the fancy ties, and that just wasn't their flavor. So, really, as we look at it now, it's their loss and Nashville's win. I can tell you from a management standpoint, they were ecstatic from the day the trade was made.
Mm-hmm.
The day they traded and made that trade, I called them immediately, and they couldn't have been more chuffed that they had made that deal. So it's panned out for both teams, but one team's still playing.
Yeah, I was going to say, before we deal with Nashville, though, PK get Montreal closer to the Stanley Cup any closer than they were with Shea Weber, in your opinion?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. They're a younger team, a little bit more flamboyant. You need to have a little bit of swagger. They've got some strange personalities in that locker room. It's a different locker room. It's not like the ones that I've been on where it was all business and all experience. They're a different and interesting group. And they can be, because Nashville's a place you can hide. You can be different things in Nashville that you can't be in Montreal. And so he's just added to that group of defense that they've drafted that's spectacular, that's mobile, that can move the puck up the ice. Does he still have flaws in his game? Yeah. He gets the puck in his backhand and tries to make plays cross ice way too much. You're better to make a pass on your forehand. But that's a small thing. And he can fit in as a number three and number four. Doesn't have to be on the top power play if they don't want him to be. Montreal, he was everything. You're going to go turn to Alexei Yemelin? That's your answer?
Mm-hmm.
So it's just a better fit there. And let's face it, financially, it's a better fit for Nashville as well, because they couldn't afford to keep paying a guy $14 million who plays 55 feet from the other team's net. And that's not their fault. They had to match an offer that another team made to their player, and that offer had a big chunk of salary to it. So, but, you know, you look at it now, it's what it is, and Nashville's not looking back. They're not looking back when they made the trade for James Neal. I was golfing with him the day they made the deal, and he was really disappointed.
Mm-hmm.
And I told him at the time, you just got a 11% pay raise because of the tax situation.
Right.
You're going to a team that drafts well and is going to compete for a cup. Bingo. There they are.
Now, one of the things we saw with Pittsburgh against Ottawa, and I admit it, I admit, Glenn, they may have started doing this last year, but it seemed to me as if they spent an awful lot of time playing below the hash marks against Ottawa. Is the stuff that worked against Ottawa going to work against a Nashville defense that is deeper than Ottawa? It's not going
to
work, is it?
No, because, you know, it's foot speed. It's not so much big. The days of taking a guy, like back in the 90s, would pin your player, take him and pin him, and he can't move against the boards. That would be called penalty today. So what you have to have is eventually players have to take the puck from bad ice and take it to good ice for them to make a play towards the front of the net. And if you've got quick feet and a good stick, you know, Nick Lidstrom won the Norris how many years in a row, how many different times, and would he finish each year with four hits, five hits? You don't need to have that, you know, kind of that big bulking style. So when it comes to Nashville's defense, you have very little time and space. You get the puck and they're on you, and they're looking to go the other way. So this, to me, will be an incredibly fast series. Both teams have speed to burn. Both teams are young. Both teams, you know, when you look at them, they both have some flaws in their game, which is going to expose some things at times. And, you know, it's going to be a tight, real close series in my mind. There's not much that separates the two groups in a lot of ways. Maybe it's the star power up front of Pittsburgh, but then I could say, well, it's the star power at the back for Nashville because they get the nod with defense and goaltending. So it's going to be tight.
What difference, or what different challenges, I should say, will Pittsburgh present to Nashville compared to Anaheim? I mean, the first thing I looked at with Anaheim was Anaheim, I think, was probably a bigger team up front. And you talked about how there's an awful lot of foot speed in this series. Is that just the biggest difference, the speed at which plays are going to be, you know, plays are going to be developed or plays are going to run by the Penguins?
Yeah, when you look at Anaheim and you look at Ricard Raquel and you look at Getzlaff and you look at Perry, you know, they're a big team that love to cycle the puck. The problem is they rarely took it to the net. They just kept the cycle game going until they eventually lost it, and Pittsburgh went the other way, or Nashville goes the other way, or whoever plays them in any round goes the other way. A different team in the sense, like the guys that you're playing against now, they're not going to try that below the half mark and never take it to the net. Mm-hmm. They're going to take it to the net, and they're going to use their points. And it would be a lot more advantageous if they had Letang, who basically was a fourth forward on any given shift, out on the ice with them. But they don't have him. And so from a Nashville standpoint, they've got to play five against three. And if Ole Mata beats you from the blue line, or Daly beats you from the blue line, so be it. But it's not going to be Malkin, and it's not going to be Crosby, and it's not going to be Getzel. It's not going to be any of the forwards. We're going to play them pretty tight, like most teams do. They cover the front of the house.
It's going to be a good goaltending matchup as well with Matt Murray against Pekka Rinne. Where are they at right now in terms of their games?
Well, this is a long time coming for Pekka Rinne, who really got no respect right from the minute that they drafted him in the late rounds as a backup to Backstrom. He never got to play, you know, in the early days. Then he comes to Nashville, big athletic guy. They finally have a team now that can win a Stanley Cup. So for all of these players, this is like such a big moment. It was a big moment for Murray last year when we wondered, when is he going to break? Mm-hmm. He didn't even bend. Forget breaking. And total surprise. You see him, you know, in the dressing room. He's like 135 pounds. It's like, how does this guy play? Are those strings from his shorts or are those legs? Mm-hmm. That slight a guy. And yet, here he is back again, back at the dance. So, but the goaltending matchup to me, just from experience, from, you know, being in the playoffs more, even though Murray's won a cup, I think Rinne has, through the course of these 2 months, has been better.
Now, the Penguins, and we talked about this, well, I think we talked about it in every series, to be honest, because of the injuries to their defense corps, particularly Chris Letang. They don't have the depth that Nashville does. How have they been able to compensate for that so far, or have they been able to compensate for it?
They do something that's very unique in the game. Score more than the other team.
Okay. That's an easy enough way to do it.
Yeah. So if you're going to beat them, historically, you better get four.
Mm-hmm.
And you're not getting four against them because they are well coached and they have great structure. And for good chunks of the game, they have the puck in the offensive zone. And let's face it, anytime you're playing on the ice with Malkin or Crosby, there's fear. You know, do I take a chance offensively? I can tell you as a goalie, when Edmonton, 200 feet from my net, would put Gretzky and Messier on the ice at the same time, it was like, ruh-roh,
mm-hmm.
Defend. Don't try to play offensively. But they can score. Their power play is good. They've got game breakers. So we saw it the other night. You go to double OT, the longer that game went, my money was on the Pittsburgh Penguins. Because you can check Crosby for 26 minutes, 24 minutes. You can't do it for 30 or 32. Can't do it for 30 or 32 against Malkin. So the longer the game went, there's a better chance that they were going to get a guy to put it in the back of the net because they have more game breakers. And I think that's the same thing in this series.
When you look at Nashville and you see the absence of Ryan Johansson, we saw the emergence, I guess a little bit, the emergence of Colton Sissons against Anaheim. How do they overcome that absence for a series, for a whole series, not having Ryan Johansson?
Well, it's a two-week war. So you don't have to win for 82 games. You don't have to win for 192 days. It's 2 weeks. And, you know, realistically, and I've been there, when you look at the Stanley Cup Finals, all those players that were part of that media day yesterday,
yep,
that was way different than any other day they've ever been part of.
Mm-hmm.
Better, bigger than the Memorial Cup, bigger than the AHL Championship that guys have won, bigger than the third round. It is all business, lots of media, less this year than last year for whatever reason. I I think some of the bloggers were cut out. I'm guessing that because this is an interesting series.
Mm-hmm.
But it's different. And so you really have to maintain your focus because the three-day breaks don't happen to the latter part of the series, or two-day breaks. So it's all on board right away. And in the first 4 days of this, you either are in a series, in control of a series, or your season is done. And so that focus right from game one and the energy and the excitement, it's unbelievable as a player. Forget as a fan, which is great too. But, boy, you've got to have your focus. And sometimes early on in series, less is more. You know, you get running around and chasing things, and the next thing you're chasing a series.
So I'm going to put you in the spot. Who wins this series?
I'm going to say Nashville wins.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd love to go to the games. I don't know if you checked on StubHub for ticket prices.
I have not.
$3,200 for a ticket?
Nashville loves its hockey, man.
I tell you, something happened from a couple years ago to now. It's a city that just, they feel like it's destiny for them.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the players probably do too. And, you know, to me, the big boys in Pittsburgh with a couple appearances in the Cup final, a big long playoff runs every single year, a World Cup played in September, I just think Nashville's got more in the last 2 weeks of this journey to push it over the line.
You know, I'm glad you mentioned the secondary ticket market because Gary Bettman is going to hold his traditional news conference today ahead of the final. And look, this is a guy who's taken a lot of criticism for the so-called quote-unquote Southern strategy, or whatever, Sunshine strategy, whatever you want to call it, the NHL. But this is a place where it worked. Why? And I know it wasn't... Glenn, I don't think it was a success out of the gate, but you always got the sense that there was something there. And maybe it was because they had a good administration. I don't know, but you always got the sense that it was just kind of quirky enough that it might work. But does the fact Nashville is in this Stanley Cup final legitimize Gary Bettman's strategy?
Well, I think they've done a couple things in Nashville really well. They've drafted well. So give Paul Fenton credit for that. You go to the podium, you don't make mistakes like Florida did for 10 years. They finally got it together now with Dale. But for years, you look at their draft picks, just terrible. The Islanders, take a look at their draft picks the past 10 years. Forget, we get Tavares, which was an easy pick. But look at what they've done the past 10.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll say, I know why they are where they are. So they drafted well. Whenever I've gone in to do a game there, the organization culturally is spend as much time with the media as you possibly can. And Barry Trotz at the time would pull us aside and tell us everything about the city, about the area, about how the auto industry had moved into Nashville. There's a lot of displaced Michigan people here who love the Red Wings, but now they're coming to Nashville games. Then you had the star power where you go to the games and it's the who's who of country music in Nashville. And you got fans that, you know, a little bit of knowledge is dangerous in mm-hmm. a lot of ways. They don't really know the game, but man, they're coming and they just think their team is all of that. So I just think it's an exciting place to be. And tickets are priced during the regular season at a reasonable price where you don't mortgage your house to have to go to a game. Different now because they're at the dance, but there's just everything about it that you love. And I've said this many times. Anyone looking for a weekend away, tell Vegas to get lost. Go to Nashville. You'll have the time of your life. You won't remember any of it, but you'll have the time of your life.
Mm. So do you think Gary Bettman deserves some credit here?
Well, you know, it's funny because Gary does get a lot of criticism about a lot of different things. And as a player, I look at it and say, when I played, there were 16 teams. That's 32 goalies. Now you've got 64 goalies mm-hmm. that are in the league, hundreds and hundreds of more jobs. And it's not even the jobs that are, you know, at the NHL level, but it's 50 contracts on every team. So you think about that. If you had 15 more teams times 60 contracts, with an average salary of north of $3 million, like, hello, I don't care what your strategy is. From a player standpoint, I applaud you because you're putting money in families' pockets that didn't exist in the 80s.
Mr. Healy, we're going to let you scoot. Appreciate you doing this as always. Should be a good series. Looking forward to it.
Oh, for sure. Just from a fan standpoint, it's going to be electric in both buildings. And just being in that building, the energy will be overwhelming. Sitting at home on TV, it'll come through the TV as well.